Well, good morning. You know, I was thinking about a joke because, you know, I've kind of gotten in this routine of starting a joke, but God reminded me of something while I was in the silence of the prayer for the joys and concerns. I could hear the wind blowing. And, you know, it's going to be one of those days today. And it reminded me of Bill Hopkins. And Bill was a quiet man. He didn't say a lot. But when he did, it was important. And it had some meaning. And I remember one day when Brother Wayne was preaching, and Bill said, "Yep, Wayne's preaching 50 miles an hour, gust up to 80. I'll try not to get that windy in here. I don't want to mess with y'all's hair. Oh. All right, let me find my notes here. So today is Palm Sunday, and let me get up to the top of the notes, John. You know, we should be so thankful for what we are able to do. We're able to worship here in this church. You know, there's so many places around the world that they want to celebrate Easter and Palm Sunday and these things that we just kind of take for granted. And we're just so blessed to live in a country where we can have the freedom to do that. And we'll get started. If y'all would, please, we'll stand for the reading of God's Word this morning from Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. It says, "As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you're going to find a donkey.'" We've heard this once before today. With her colt by her, untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, say the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet: "Say to the daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them to do, and they brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A large crowd had spread their cloaks out on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this church. We thank you for our church family. We thank you for this message of Palm Sunday. And Lord, I just ask these be your words and not my words. In your Son's precious name I pray. Amen. Y'all may be seated. So a parade is often used as an illustration in these Palm Sunday sermons that you may hear. And I kind of think about the small town parades that we have here in Quanah, like our homecoming parade, you know, where it features young ladies riding in classic cars down Main Street and football teams waving and people just lined up on Main Street, or maybe in December when we have that lighted Christmas parade downtown and there's the floats, and it's just it's a celebration. Well, the parade in today's message marks a significant moment in the history of our faith. Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem that day marked the beginning of the final leg to his journey to the cross. And when we think of this Palm Sunday procession, we may envision something big and magnificent. Streets just filled with people waving their palm branches like the kids did this morning and cheering as Jesus rides by, kind of waving, you know, almost like a pageant queen. But if you look in the scripture, the reality is Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem is quite a humble one. Instead of the chariots and the horses and the soldiers in their best, shiniest armor, we get Jesus on a donkey. We get a street full of people who are already living on the margins of society. We get desperation and hope. And that's an important point. There is so much hope. But this desperation is in the cry of Hosanna falling from the people's lips. That's what they were saying. And when we look at the word Hosanna, we associate that with praise and honor now. But it was a word that meant save us. And the people were filling the streets and asking Jesus to save them. And they were living under this harsh rule of the Roman Empire. They had violence and they had poverty and religious persecution. But Jesus' reputation had preceded him there. He had been teaching, he had been healing and performing miracles for 3 years prior to this. And the Romans had heard the rumors that Jesus was the Messiah and the promised Savior and King, and this is the Savior they'd been waiting for, and the Romans weren't happy about this because Jesus is kind of a threat to their ruler and their law and order. And, you know, they come to greet him on that day, desperate for him to be the one to change their circumstances. These are the people who line the parade route. And to make all that's right, or all that's wrong, right again. I'll get the words out here in a minute. But the hope in this message is these palm branches and the cries of Hosanna. Palm branches symbolize victory and triumph. The Feast of Booths is an annual Jewish pilgrimage celebrated around the harvest season, and it also uses palm branches. It commemorated the Exodus and God's deliverance of Israel from Egypt. Part of this pilgrimage includes waving those palm branches, among other things, as the people made their way to the temple, singing in the streets about God's faithfulness. I found a scholar who had wrote, "The palm branches signal the people's joyful hopes that, like Moses, Jesus will lead a new exodus and deliver them from bondage. And likewise, by spreading their cloaks on the road, the crowd signal that they recognize Jesus as royalty." And if we look at those two items, the cloaks and the palm branches, Mary, if you want to go ahead and go to the next slide, they carry significance. Spreading these garments out for someone to walk on was more an act of chivalry. For example, you know, in the old days, a man would spread his coat over a puddle so a lady doesn't get her shoes wet. It's connected to Christ's triumphant entry, in that it is a show of deference and honor. But spreading out garments before someone was also an act of submission paid to royalty. If we look at the word Hosanna, it means save us. But it also is used to express joy and praise for deliverance granted or anticipated. The people on the street that day were very desperate, but they were also very hopeful that God would fulfill his promises to deliver them once again. And when we read over this story, you know, we have the benefit of hindsight. We've got the entire Bible. We know the end of this story. We know that Jesus is exactly who he says he is. And we know that he does make good on those promises to deliver the people. But these folks didn't know that. And a few days later, those desperate and joyful cries of Hosanna turned to desperate and angry cries to crucify him. I don't know how much Jesus knew about what would happen after he entered Jerusalem that day, but obviously he did know all the things that were coming, and it was about to get difficult, to say the least. In the days that followed, he was betrayed by a friend, abandoned by his followers, beaten, mocked, and killed. He would feel so hopeless that at one point he would ask God why he had abandoned him, why God had abandoned him. And still, he got on that donkey and he rode straight into the heart of suffering and death in order to bring hope and new life on the other side. It could also be said Palm Sunday was not so much a celebration as it was a confirmation. And we see this significance in a conversation Jesus had with Pontius Pilate. That conversation is recorded in John chapter 18. So Pontius asked Jesus, just point blank, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answers, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom was from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But, as it is, my kingdom is not from here. Pilate then asked him, "So are you a king?" And Jesus says, "For this I was born, and for this I came into the world to testify the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." And with those words, Jesus confirmed what had happened on Palm Sunday. He had confronted all the earthly powers of the day, and he declared himself to be the King and Savior of the entire world. So if we look at this phrase, Jesus said to Pilate, "For this I was born," there's two Latin words that I found that may help us kind of catch a hold of Jesus' meaning with this point. The first word is autorias, which the source of that word, that's the source of the word authority. That was the word that was used in reference to an office or a position. It was conferred upon a person by virtue of achievement, being elected to it, or by scheming or scrambling to gain a position. Pontius Pilate, for example, had that kind of authority. The other Latin word is potestas, which is what we derive our word power. That word refers to the kind of power which belongs to a person, not because it was earned or seized, but because the person was born to it. That's the power Jesus had. So Jesus says to Pilate, "I was born to be king. It's not something I sought or seized or gained by my own efforts. It's something of which belongs to me simply because of who I am, the only begotten Son of the Almighty God." And then Pilate said, "Away with him. I do not want such a king." One could also say we have to acknowledge that we kind of have a similar thing in our times. As I look at it, kind of the way we are in America, many folks put their trust in an authority which comes from political, military, or economic strength. Are y'all aware of the fact, for example, that we spend more than $20 million a year providing personal protective services to our president? Our government is a government of, by, and for the people. And that is very true, but our national leaders are treated like royalty because of the regard for political power. Our military forces are the most powerful the world has ever seen. And when we flex even just a little bit of that muscle, it's overwhelming in the impact. And of course, it goes without saying that we pay an enormous price to keep that economic power as well. In America, we could say business is king and our economic machinery has produced an almost unimaginable affluence. But church, I think this Holy Week, this Easter week that is coming, is exactly what we need right now. And where we celebrate and where we worship is not the point. The point is that we follow a Savior who loved us so much enough to ride right in the middle of that pain and in that suffering and be present with us. Who hears our cries of Hosanna, saves us, and shows us that new life can come out of the most hopeless situations. He showed us how to live and how to love others, no matter how hard life gets. You know, as I wrap this up, I just offer an invitation all this week to sit before God with our fear and our anxiety and our struggles and ask God to be with all of us, to fill us with hope, to do something new, and to show us how to love our neighbors. Once you have that relationship with Jesus, your life will be changed forever. So why not start experiencing Easter a little differently this year? Who knows what God's going to teach us this week? I guess we'll just have to listen and find out. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity to talk about Palm Sunday. Such an important day where those cries of Hosanna were voiced. Lord, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we do know that we need your hope, your love, and your presence to be with us. Lord, I ask you to hear our prayers and show us something new this week. With open hands, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.